Okay, good vach, everybody. Always, it's chus to be together after Shabbos Kodesh. You know, it gives a little bit of warmth, a little nechama when Shabbos ends, to be together, to learn, to grow. Have chizuk and azoris, take us into the week. But the Shabbos is never easy for Shabbos to end. We all look forward all week long to Shabbos. I was talking the other night with some chevra, and imagine what it would be, you know, Baruch Hashem we have, and how Kadosh Shabbos is, but imagine if we didn't have Shabbos, what our entire week would be like. You know, all week we look so forward to Shabbos. Imagine if it was like a Monday morning, and obviously this will never be, and the world couldn't exist if this would be. But imagine if it was Monday morning, and there was a decision made, and that week there was going to be no Shabbos. Like, we wouldn't even get through the week. Such a special schus we have. And then Shabbos is over, and we have to wait a whole week. It's Matzei Shabbos. Obviously, we try to keep Shabbos into the week of Matzei Shabbos, have Mav Malka, but to learn together, to grow together. Hopefully, it keeps Shabbos going in a very special way. So before we begin, just want to say that all the Torah tonight, all the Chizik tonight, all the Zoros tonight, is first of all being sponsored, L'Rfu Shalema, very special Yid, somebody that I'm very, very close to, who needs, Baruch Hashem has had Besuras Tovos, but needs more Rufus and more Yeshuas and more Besuras Tovos. Yaakov and Sarah, when Kadavim for Yaakov and Sarah. And Mirz Hashem, we should just continue to hear good news and continue to have Besuras Tovos and Rufus and Yeshuas, Bezat Hashem. And also by the Blumenthal family, Julia and her family. It's a month, the month of Adar, and we're still in Adar, Baruch Hashem. It's chus. Don't, you know, some people, we forget when Purim ends. And like we're so excited, we're preparing for Purim, and then Purim's over. Okay, it's already on to Pesach, but we're still in the month of Adar, and the Simcha of Adar is still with us, and the Kedusha of Adar is still with us. And Adar is a very special month, and for her family, a lot of different yahrzeits, and yahrzeits, even though is on one level difficult, on another level, it's a time for Ilei Nishmas. It's a time to remember those very special people in the family, and to also have schusim for their neshamas, that we believe they're going to continue to rise in Shemayim, to be tanting with them, b'karav b'ez Hashem. So first of all, Julia's grandfather's yahrzeit was today, Chafei Adar, Moshe Shmuel David, b'Moshe Aaron. It's a big schus for his neshama. For Julia's great-grandmother, Sarah Feiga, b'ez Avram David, whose yahrzeit is coming up this upcoming week, and Chav Ches, just in a few days, as an idea, in the Svarim, that a yahrzeit is really a full week. And the yahrzeit is the middle of the week. So really, the neshama, on a yahrzeit, the neshama is more deeply connected to this world. And you could feel and connect to the neshama, but that's really a full week with the yahrzeit being middle. So it's 3 days before, 3 days after. The word chavav, within 3 days before, as well, as your, within 3 days after. I mean, today was your grandpa's yahrzeit, and within 3 days before, your great grandmother Sarah Feiga Basav and David should be a big schluss for her neshama. And for your great great aunt, Dina Basav and David, whose yahrzeit was Vavadar, and all their neshamas have big aliyos Bezer Hashem, and they should be big militia yoshim for your beautiful family until you're going to be dancing with them with Mishiach Zakenu and Mirab Yamino. We're Mavarchim Chodesh Nisan. Today in Shul, and we're looking forward to the month of Nisan. The month of Nisan is already Aviv, right? The month of Nisan is springtime. And I know this year, you know, these days it's been pretty cold. It's been pretty cold, although today was nice. Today was a nicer day. But it's been pretty cold overall. It's hard to feel like spring is in the air. But the Torah defines our reality. There's worldly reality, and there's Torah reality. Just dealing with the Shaila minutes ago. Get into the details of the Shaila, but in the secular world, in worldly reality, it would have looked at it in one way. But the Torah perspective is a whole different world. The Torah tells us it's springtime. It's springtime. Hopefully we're going to also, we want to feel the nice weather. It's a lot nicer, it's a lot easier, but ultimately it's springtime. It's springtime. What does that mean for us? If it's not nice outside, what does it mean it's spring? Shkayach, it feels like it's winter. It was snowing a few days ago, right? All winter long, it doesn't snow. Suddenly, you know, March and it's snowing over here. But spring, we spoke about this last year, some of the Chevra may remember. Spring is a time of Hischadshus. Spring is a time of new beginning. A lot of us have had different challenges, different nisyonos. We can look forward to Nisan, a month of Hischadshus. Spring in there, I mean, the trees are going to have Hischadshus. I'm going to talk about that, Mirat Hashem. But in our lives, Hischadshus, a new beginning. Pesach's coming. Pesach is the birth of Klal Yisrael, the nation. It's a whole new beginning. So in our individualized world as well. The past is in the past, Hischadshus. That's what we're... Today was Parshas HaChodesh. HaChodesh is Alechem. More than anything else, Hischadshus. We're the people of the moon. We don't follow the sun. The sun, moon, every month is chadshus, a new beginning. Kiddush HaChodesh, a new beginning. And that we spoke about last year. We can never not need that chizuk. It's a special month, Nisan, a very special month. I remember 10 years ago, exactly. 10 years ago, Tavshin Ayin Gimel. I had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael for about a week, right at the beginning of Nisan. I wasn't there that time of the year since I was learning in yeshiva. Different circumstances brought me to Eretz Yisrael. And it was an incredible, incredible week. Incredible week. Every trip to Eretz Yisrael is Kodesh, Kodesh Kedashim. That trip particularly. You see, like whenever I'm in Eretz Yisrael, most trips to Eretz Yisrael, I'm there when Baruch Hashem, I have many, many Talmidim, Talmidot, and like half the trip is spending, if not more than that, with them. Which is beautiful, wonderful, I love it, but it's a lot of time sitting and talking and trying to be mechazik and trying to give etza, and it's awesome, beautiful, giving shiurim. It's very special, but that takes up a lot of the time of Eretz Yisrael, right? So, beginning of Nisan, if you remember when you were zochah to be learning in seminary, right, that's, you're back already. Or maybe you're in Poland that week, or, meaning, yeshiva, seminary is over, there's Bein HaZmanim already. So I went that week, there was nobody in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, people were in Eretz Yisrael, but none of my Talmidim, none of my Talmidot, and it was like a week like totally to myself. Also, so sometimes I've been zochah to be at those times with my family, so beautiful trips with the mishpacha. Here I was by myself, without my family, without Talmidim, and it was like a week just of chizik for myself, a week of Torah and tefillah. Incredible week. It was transformative. It was literally transformative. And mamish, I could say this, and it's rare I could say such a thing, because, you know, always throughout our lives we have moments of inspiration, and whether it's a Yom Kippur, whether it's a Purim like we had just a week ago, or whatever it might be, and in those moments, it's very important, there's another Torah for another time, to concretize those moments, and take upon Kabbalahs, right? And we take upon, and we want to daven better, we want to dress differently, we want to learn a little bit more, we want to connect to Shabbos a little bit more, whatever it might be, some sort of Kabbalah, right? How often those Kabbalahs fade very, very quickly? A day, a week, a month? I could say standing here during that trip 10 years ago, I could think of offhand right now two Kabbalahs that I took that from that trip I wasn't doing before and that I'm doing still till today. That's rare. I can't say that. I also, just like you, take Kabbalahs all the time that fade very, very quickly. And here, Mamish, 10 years. Part of that is Eretz Yisrael, but Baruch Hashem, I could say I've been in Eretz Yisrael, I go to Eretz Yisrael often, and there are a lot of Kabbalahs of trips that didn't. That trip. But I think part of it is Nisan. Nisan is B'Shem Nes. It's a time of miracles. We'll get to what type of miracles exactly that means, because usually we think of miracles of supernatural occurrences from the Rabbona Shalom, but there are a lot of other types of miracles. They're miracles that we make. We have to look forward to this new month, a month that could be transformative for each and every one of us. And I want to talk about one specific way tonight together. And understand the Gemara, which on the surface is hard to understand, I'm sure you've heard this before. It's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud goes into Yud Aleph. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Machlokas seems very strange, because it seems like a machlokas in mitzias. So a machlokas in just, in facts. And Rabbi Eliezer says, B'tishrei nivra olam.
Rabbi Lezer says, like most of us would think, the world was created in Tishrei. Right? If I asked anybody, when was the creation of the world? Most of us would say, like Rabbi Eliezer. Rosh Hashanah. Right? In our tfilos, what do we daven in Rosh Hashanah? Hayoyim haras olam. Hayoyim haras olam. Today is the beginning of the world. Meaning that was actually the sixth day of creation, according to what he means by that, right? Chaf hey elol really was the beginning, but that was the day that man was created, which is really the beginning of the existence of the world. There is no world without man. Adam and Chava were created on we assume, Hayoyim haras olam. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. But Tishrei and Nivra olam, Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei, the world was created. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, but Rabbi Yeshua argues. And he says, B'Nisan Nivre Olam. He says the world was created in Nisan. It doesn't even say exactly when in Nisan, but we'll see what that means, whether that means Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Usually Ischatus would be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that seems to be, by the way, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Zayim Beis, talking about the Hakamas HaMishkan, which we're learning about, these Parshios, when the Mishkan was dedicated, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this upcoming week. Vayi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashenis b'echad l'chodesh, the second year after Lech Mitzrayim, on the first day of that month, Hukam HaMishkan, and the Gemara says in Shabbos, Rishon hu l'masek rishos, just like this opinion. Rishon, Pashuk Pshat, simple understanding, there's different ways to understand that Gemara, but the simple understanding, Rishon Hul L'Masa Bereishis, it's the first day of Masa Bereishis, meaning what? The world was created. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Doesn't say the exact date in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore it could be also he's talking about Pesach, which we'll see in a moment, but we have this Machlokis in Mitzias, very strange Machlokis, very hard to comprehend. There are a lot of Machlokis in Torah. And how we paskin and how we live, but ultimately in like an occurrence of when something happened, it's rare. And when the world was created, like really we're going to have machlokas when the world was created? Shouldn't that be something we all agree on and understand? What does that mean? That we're arguing whether and the Gemara there, I'm not going to read the whole thing, gets into the discussion. Actually, it's very interesting. It's all a discussion based on Pesukim in Masa Bereishis about the creating of the vegetation and the fruits, which, by the way, there are two times in the year when we have times of harvest, whether it's Tishrei time or Nisan time, and discussing that, they both could fit in from the Pesukim. But ultimately, really, we have Machlokes, whether the world was created, Rosh Hashanah or Pesach, Tishrei or Nisan. I'm sure everybody here, if somebody was asked, if you weren't privy to this Gemara before, everybody would say Rosh Hashanah. Hayoyim haras olam. That's how we understand what Rosh Hashanah is. What else are we celebrating Rosh Hashanah, right? That is the celebration. But yes, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year when we have din, when we have judgment. But why then? Because it's the beginning of the year. And it's the beginning of the year because that was the beginning of history. That's why it's the beginning of the year. Yes, we know Nisan also on some levels is the beginning of the year for Malachim, for kings, for other. But ultimately there are different Rosh Hashanahs throughout the year. But creation of the world, Tishrei. But here we have Machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, whether it was Tishrei or whether it was Nisan. Could be this month was beginning of the world. What does that mean? So, I want to learn with you a Torah from the Halakha by Ditchener. In the Halakha of Kedusha Slavi, there's a Torah that I believe is life-altering and transformative and just puts all of life in perspective. Because maybe one of the most important questions that we have to constantly be asking ourselves and constantly reminding ourselves is, Machavasi Balamo. What is my purpose in this world? What is my purpose in this world? And I tell people ask me all the time about suggesting different limudim that what they should learn. And obviously, there's so much Torah to learn, and to learn Chumash, and to learn Halacha, and to learn all the different sefer chassidus and sefer musar, and they're all beautiful. Mashalib al-Chafetz Ba. If you ask me, probably the most important perek written by man, and I'm not talking, meaning when I say written by man, after Chumash and Gemara, which obviously the Mishnah was ultimately written down by man, but it's Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the oral Torah from the Rabbonu Shalom, all of it. And Medrash, but a work of man, of the most important, I believe, in my life has been the Mesil Shasharim, and specifically perek Aleph of Mesil Shasharim.
I can't tell you how many times I've learned Perek Aleph from Mesil Sharm. Perek Aleph Mesil Sharm from the Eilig Ramchal. It's a Perek of Chovos Adam Olam, man's purpose in this world. Because it's something we constantly have to review and remember, because ultimately we get lost into the temptations of the world and the ideals of the world and of other people. And we have to remember, why am I here? What am I doing here? What is my whole life about? Because ultimately, we're only going to be happiest in this world if we're fulfilling our purpose, if we're living up to our purpose. That's why we're here. Listen to this Torah, Chavra. Remember, we're trying to understand the Kedushas Levi. The Halakha Bar Dichtuver expound in his drushas on Pesach. And he quotes this Gemara that we just learned together. This Gemara, this Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, in regards to when the world was created. Let's just learn this together. He quotes the Gemara, Chad Amar Ben Nisan Nivrolam, Chad Amar Ben Tishrei Nivrolam. One says it was created in Nisan, and one says it was created in Tishrei. V'nevar, we're going to explain. Deleka plukta beinehem. There is no machlokas. Pretty hard thing to say, right? Pretty intense. It's a pretty strong machlokas. Tishrei and Nisan are different months. But it's hard to understand how it is a machlokas. Why would we have machlokas about metzias, about occurrence? He says, there's no machlokas. V'yavuar al derech hamashal, I'll explain through a parable. Echad she'asa ezeh davar. Yesh bo shnei devarim. When a person creates something, an invention, there's two entities to that. Echad ha'asiya ve'echad ha'tam l'ma'asakeim. There's the creation itself, and then there's fulfillment of the purpose of why it was created. There's the actual entity, but then it's fulfilling its purpose. The tam lama osake. Meaning what? So you could have a chesed when Steve Jobs and his friends invented that first computer. So they invented the computer, but the computer was it's a box. It's a finished product. Until people started using it and bringing into the world what that was going to accomplish, so that invention is meaningless ultimately. It's just a box. It's a box. But when it's being used and fulfilling its purpose of creation, it fulfills why it was ultimately brought into the world, right? So listen to what the Partitioner says. Kaviyach l'kushabar kushbaruch l'esolamo. When a kushbaruch created the world, he made the world in 6 days, and he put animals, and he put trees, and he put ultimately man, Adam, and Chava, and a Gan Eden, and all the different creations of the world that we all learn about in Parshas Bereishis. People were living in the world, but they didn't understand what the whole world was here for. Look at what was going on in the world. You have the Dor HaMavel, you have the Dor HaFlaga, you have Mamash, you have an Esav, you have Yishmael, you have a world lacking structure, lacking understanding. It's just a world with a lot in it and a lot one can do. There was no understanding of why the world was created. Ube emes, and in truth, the real world is created that Hashem's gonna literally, like, I don't know any better word, but to play together with us, to be together with us. Like, you have little kids, they have play dates on Shabbos, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to have a play date with his children. Lishtasheya. Lilei Sarascha Shashua. That's a play. What does that mean? The Klal Yisrael Shiyasu Ritzono. Shiyasu Ritzono. The world is created so we follow his will. We follow his desire. V'yakiro gedulaso. And we recognize his greatness. V'yavinu. And we understand. Chakol lichvodo bara. Everything was created for his honor. The whole purpose of the world was so we could be here and do all that. Do Ratzon Hashem. Recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. Bring him into the world. He's here. But make it known. Give him kavod. Everything. Akol lichvodo. Abba b'shas b'riyas olam. When the world was created, adai lo noda tamal b'riyasa. Most of creations had no idea what's going on, why the world is here. They're just living life. Which most of the world still does until today. And that's why there's such disorder and such sheker in the world. And people do whatever they want.
And why not go and invade a country and kill them out and take it over? Well, why not? If there is no purpose, there is no God, there is no Latam Hadavar, I do what I want when I want. Why not decide that I'm going to be a man and decide that I'm going to be a woman and decide that... Why not? It's, there's no Tam Ladavar, there's no order, there's no... There's just a world and I could do what I want with it, whenever I want to do with it. Right? The world we live in. Olam Deshikr. It's a whole... And that's what the world was completely. Ad L'Nisan. Until came that month of Nisan. And the way the Berditcher says it, Sheyatzu Yisrael Mitzrayim, when the Jews left Mitzrayim in Nisan. And they became a Klal Yisrael. Until that point, yes, there was an Avram, there were individuals. There was an Avram, there was a Yitzchak, there was a Yaakov, there was a Sarah, there was Rivka, there was Rachel Leah. There were Shvatim, but there were all individual families. There was no Klal Yisrael yet. When we left Mitzrayim, we became a Klal Yisrael. The Roa Kol, and the whole, everybody then saw. Ki hu Elokim Adon Olam. He's the God, the master of the world. Chihu Baruch Olam, so he created all of the worlds. The Oso Roy La'avdon, he's befitting to serve. In Imsa Ben Nisan, what do we find? In Nisan, Nisgale Hatam. The reason was revealed, Al Briyas Olam, why the world was created. Kideishi Isgale Elokusov Olam Adet. To reveal godliness in this world. So, how beautiful this Bar Dichter, how beautiful this Torah. We just got together just to learn the Bar Dichter. Just to learn such a Bar Dichter. It's different. To realize, so that, Elu ve, you know, the phrase comes up often tomorrow, Elu ve Elu divik l'mchayim. Elu ve Elu divik l'mchayim means you can have a machlokas, you can have an argument, and they're both right. What does it mean they're both right? They're saying different things. No. You have to understand the context. You have to stand where they're coming from. And the Bar Dichter says, Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, they're both right. The physical world, Hayoyin Haras Olam, was actually created Tishrei. That's when the world was created. But the fulfillment of its purpose was not until Nisan, many, many, many years later. It was not until you had a Klal Yisrael. And a Klal Yisrael that could recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam and be one with the Ribbono Shel Olam and be his nation, be his children. Be close to him. See godliness in everything. In the revealed and in the hidden. Living a life of Amuna. Living with Hashem in this world. Showing that even in the darkest of places, I know there's a Rabbono Shel Olam. I know he's by my side. Benisan is Gala Hatam. And therefore the purpose of creation was fulfilled. And we could look at it as if that's when it was actually created. Because that's when ultimately the purpose was brought into this world. But you know, he said one line that I want to focus on. It's incredibly sowed to think about this. But he said one line, it's not just to recognize Hashem, not just believe in Hashem. But when you recognize Hashem and believe in Hashem, you know what each and every one of our purposes is? Sheyasu Ritzono. Once you believe in Him, once you recognize Him, once you're a Yid, once you're fulfilling His purpose in His world, you want to do His will. Hashem gave us a Torah. He gave us mitzvahs. And therefore, if we want to fulfill the purpose of this world, we want to, each and every one of us, give the creation of the world purpose. To ultimately, in a certain sense, finish the creation of the world. You have to do Ratzon Hashem. Osa Ratzon. I want to talk about that for a moment. Because I think sometimes we get so lost in Torah and in mitzvos and in things that are very beautiful, that we forget Ratzon Hashem. Just minutes goes by, Shal Shudis, Yeshiva in Tavaria, they had a Shabbaton in DRS. I went to the Shal Shudis, close with a lot of the Rebbeim and a lot of the Talmidim, and I wanted to go see some of the people. And Rav Aaron Bina, the Rosh Yeshiva, got up to speak and he at the Shal Shudis, and he said, you know, sometimes people get so lost in Frumkeit, they forget about Hashem. You get so lost in Frumkeit, they forget about Hashem, right? Meaning it's more about the actual mitzvahs than the Ribbono Shel Olam in it. We have to remember, we have to be reminded, it's all about, that's everything that Bar Dichter just said, was it's all, the whole purpose of life. He didn't mention once the word Torah. He didn't mention once the word mitzvahs. And that's all beautiful, wonderful, please. We all have to keep to our mitzvahs. But we have to remember that. What did he talk about? Because that's the foundation of it all. Vada, of course, we have to keep to our mitzvahs to the best of our ability. But only if we have that emotion behind it. Otherwise, it's rote, it's mechanical, it's not what it's all about. We've lost sight of that. You know, we've grabbed onto the tough one, forgotten the ikkar. And the avodah is doing ratzon Hashem, and sometimes we get so caught up in the Torah, we forget about ratzon Hashem. Let me explain to you. A few weeks ago, I had a young woman call me. She was dating somebody. Baruch Hashem, going pretty nicely. But the guy threw out a line to her, something to the extent, there's a reason, circumstances, I don't want to get into the details, not that anyone should know what we're talking about, Shalom or anything, you know, but the guy threw out some sort of line to her that, you know, he has to figure out how often, if they could get together on a particular night, and that he had to travel to pick her up or whatever it was, or to see her, because it's cutting into his night seder a lot. It's cutting into his night seder. Now the emes is, obviously, you know, obviously you have to understand the right balance in dating and continuing to learn, and if you're going out every night or every other night, that's way too much, and you have to know that balance. Don't get me wrong, there is a proper balance. But here, the proper balance was already, it was. They weren't, I was chriya, make sure, it wasn't that they were seeing each other too often, you know, you have to all. And he's a young guy, he's a wonderful guy, he just needed to understand, and I said, the guy happened to be someone I'm very close to, I said, I'm going to call and talk to him. Because yeah, and she was coming from a very beautiful place. She wants to know, is that MS? Like, should I only be seeing him on like Friday afternoon for an hour between 2 and 3, where there's still enough time to prepare for Shabbos and it's not cutting into any learning? Like maybe that's lishman. Maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing. I said, vada not. You have to date some. You have to date, and you have to go out, and you have to build a relationship, and you have to become best friends, and you have to. That's all going to help your future life, and not only that, that's all ratzon Hashem. So someone has to understand when Ratzon Hashem is to not go to night seder. That's meaning, why is, see, look, we get it wrong. Why am I sitting and learning? Why are we all here together, Matzah Shabbos? It's Matzah Shabbos. I didn't change, this is my Shabbos watch, I didn't change the time yet, so it's 9, but it's not 9, it's 10 o'clock, right? It's about 10 o'clock on Matzah Shabbos right now. And we're all here learning Torah, and we could be in a lot of other places. Why are we here? Because we believe, every one of us believes, this is Ratzon Hashem. And we're fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. Hashem would want me here right now to learn, to grow, to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Every one of us believes that in a very real way. So you know what? Ratzon Hashem is also that a young man who goes to night seder every night, but is dating on a particular night, is going to have to miss night seder. So that he could go out and he could build a relationship with a young woman and eventually have a home built on Torah Mitzvahs. Right? That's also Ratzon Hashem. Again, to what degree and how much, I'm not going to get into exact details, but that's what I'm going to have. And you can't feel bad about it, and you can't make the girl feel bad about it. Because also part of the Hashem is not to make her feel bad that she's cutting into your night seder. That's also part of Ratzon Hashem. And we have to know that's why we're doing it. That's Ratzon Hashem. That's Ratzon Hashem. You know, I have sometimes younger Talmidim who are still young and are still not yet mature in their connection to Torah Mitzvahs and Hashem. And they ask me like a question, like, Rebbe, what's wrong? Is it okay? Especially we're coming to that time of the year where, I don't know if you guys are holding, but if you have younger brothers or older brothers, or you know, it's like playoff season and coming up soon in the world of basketball and hockey and college basketball now, a big March Madness tournament. Rebbe, is there anything wrong? What's wrong, tell me, with leaving on my TV on Friday night, like before Shabbos? Or putting it on a timer, having my housekeeper turn it on. Whatever, you know, these shilas. You know these shilas? You've heard these shilas before. So forget, you know, where is there? Could you say, is there any love delamitos malacha so you can't leave on a TV from before Shabbos and watch? Is there anyone share with me? Anyone see? Vatolda? Can you think of even any? Okay, Vada, we sitting here could understand Kavod Shabbos and Onek Shabbos, and that's beautiful, it's wonderful, but like a 14-year-old who really wants to watch his team play in a big playoff game might not be there yet, right? So I'll tell you how I answer. I say, listen, When you have a halachic shayla, what do? You have a shayla, what bracha to make on the food. You have a shayla when it comes to the davening, you forgot to say mashav haruach or whatever the halachic shayla. What do? You go to your Rebbe, right? And the Rebbe will give an answer. So I get a lot of shaylas a day from my talmidim, talmidot, phone, text. I'll give the answer, right? And what happens when your Rebbe doesn't know the answer? What happens if it's a shayla that's intent? I'm not sure. So you know what? I go and I have my own Rebbe. And I'll call and I'll get in touch with Rebbe Amori, Rebbe Yaakov Neuberger, or Rebbe Spiegel, whoever it might be. I have my Rebbe that I go to with my shaylas, right? And sometimes I'll call my Rebbe, and the shaylas are very intense and very intricate, and they're not sure on the spot. So what are they going to do? They'll discuss. They have their Rebbe, and you go eventually. So who's at the top of the totem pole? Who's at the top? You know, you could say Rav Schachter was. You could say it was Rav Chaim Kanievsky a few years ago, right? The top, Gadol Hador. If no one else knows, they're going to know. Say, no, they're not at the top of the totem pole. You know, who's at the top of the totem pole? Who knows better than anyone? The Rabbi Shalom, Chavod Vatzma, right? The top of the totem pole to know the answer to every Shaila is going to be Hashem, right? Hashem. And sometimes in life, you don't have to come to your Rebbe, and he doesn't have to go to his Rebbe, and him to his Rebbe. You can go straight to the Rabbi Shalom. And what does that mean? Let's be real. Think for one moment. Is Ratan Hashem that He gave us Shabbos Kodesh, Matana Tovi Yeshiv Beitzkanaz of the Shabbos Shema, this beautiful, incredible day, so you can sit and watch a game on Shabbos? Vadinish, definitely not. There's no Shaila. Simple. Now, what exact Easter does it fall into the category? Who cares right now? It's definitely not what Hashem wants. It's not Ratan Hashem. I have my answer. And it's such a beautiful way of life to live our lives with this. Vadin, we have to ask halacha shaylas, and we have to know halacha, because halacha is Ratan Hashem ultimately, for the most part. We have to know. But ultimately the goal is Ratan Hashem. That purpose of this world, the Kedushas Levi said, Sheyaseh Ritzono, to do Ratan Hashem, to live a life of Ratan Hashem, fulfills the purpose of this world, thus is why Nisan was the creation of the world. And to live such a life, it's a beautiful way of life. It's such a peaceful way of life. It's knowing I'm fulfilling my purpose. I'm doing what Hashem wants. But I think there's another step we could learn from all this. From this Gemara and this Kedushas Levi. That ultimately the fulfillment, the purpose of life was Nisan. Now, the Kedushas Levi clearly was focusing on Pesach. He says it explicitly. But I read for you the Gemara in Shabbos. And it's unclear from the Gemara Shana when it says B'Nisan Nivra Olam that's talking about Tezvav. Seemingly, Pasha Pshad is talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this upcoming Thursday. So what happened then? Why would that be the day that we fulfill the purpose of this world? So what happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? I think I mentioned it already, but I'll read you Gemara and Megillah because it says it so beautifully. Let me just tell it to you first and then we'll read it to you. On Rosh very famously, Vayhi b'yom ha-shmini, beginning of Parashat Shmini, Rashi says what day that was explicitly. The beginning of Parashat Shmini tells us it was the end of the Miluyim, the end of the days when Moshe Rabbeinu was preparing the Mishkan to be set up, to ultimately be starting to use that Mishkan. On the eighth day, which was what? Rosh Chodesh Nisan, was when there was Hakamas HaMishkan, when the Mishkan started being used. That's the day of the dedication of the Mishkan. The day of dedication of the Mishkan, therefore, perhaps, is that day of fulfillment of the purpose of the world. But why? How so? On a simple level, that's the day when we bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into this world. That represents the Shekhinah residing in this world. But the Berditcher seems to say Pesach more so. Pesach is when we recognize Hashem. Pesach happened prior. Pesach was before this in occurrence. Why would you focus on Hakamas HaMishkan more so than Pesach itself? And I want to suggest the following. Chaver. Pesach famously, and we're looking forward to Pesach, and Amir Hashem, we're going to have hopefully the plan,
Bez Hashem, is to have one more time to learn together before Pesach, Matzah Shabbos before Pesach. Hopefully, Bez Hashem will be Zoicha. If not, another night, we'll see to figure it out. But Pesach, we know when we left Mitzrayim, we're on the 49th level of Tumah, right? Everyone knows this. Very famous. We're the lowest of low. We didn't do anything when we were Zoicha, we were Roy. We didn't do anything that we were fit to earn Pesach. Pesach is this incredible yantav of what's called Isarusa Dula'ela. It was Hashem's influence. Hashem saying, I love you no matter what. I'm by your side. You're my kinder. You're my children. I'm going to be by you through thick and thin no matter what, whether you deserve it or not. That was Pesach. Isarusa Dula'ela. All from above. All from above. Hakomas HaMishkan was what we call Isrusa de Tata. Hakamas and Mishkan was our doing, our avodah. We went and after Chet Egel, we messed up big time and we said we needed to tikkun and we went and we brought all the most expensive, most elaborate materials and we're giving it all, Benediva slave, with a whole heart, gold, silver, copper, Tcheles Vagamon, the most elegant threads, wood, oil, we're donating it all, we're giving it all. And then for 3 months, we're building it. Bitzala, Aliyah, this whole team, they're working on it, they're building it. It was a lot of work, a lot of avoda. And it all came from us. Pesach is awesome inspiration. We need once in a while Rabban Hashem to reveal himself in such a way, to see Hashem, to be mechazik us. But true avodas Hashem, true showing we do ratan Hashem is when we put in the effort, when we put in the avoda. That was hakamas hamishkan. That was our hard work. Adam la'amal yulad. And that ultimately is the fulfillment of the purpose of the world, perhaps. That's why it's more so Rosh Chodesh Nisan than even Tetzav Nisan. That's what Hashem's looking for us. Because if we truly love Hashem, we truly appreciate all that He does for us, I want to do anything I could for Hashem. And that's why the Gemara says it was on that day specifically, and to bring it all, such a beautiful Gemara in Megillah, on Daf Yud, it says, Vayhi b'yom ha-shmini, that day was Chodesh Nisan. Oso hayom ha'isa simcho lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki yom shenivru bo shemayim v'aret. Can't make it up, it brings the whole Bar Dichtuver together. The day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when we had Hakamas HaMishkan, there was joy to Hashem like the day that the world was creation. The day that the world was created. The day of creation. Ki yom shenivru bo shemayim v'aretz. That's what the Petitioner said, right? Meaning what? On the beginning of Aleph Tishrei is when the world was physically created, but when was the fulfillment of its purpose, which brings it all together full circle, was Rosh Chodesh Nisan when we had Hakamas HaMishkan. There was simchul b'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki yom shenivru bo shemayim v'aretz. Why? Because not only did we see Hashem and believe in Hashem, we put our money where our mouth was. We mamish put in the work. We put in that avodah. We're willing to put, to sacrifice, to give our most valuable possessions for Hashem. Oysa ritzoyin Hashem, doing the ratzon Hashem. The void of our lives. It's to see Hashem, to know He's by our side, but then also to act it, to live it. Sometimes it's hard. We have long days, we have busy days, we have days of achrayas, days of responsibility, and to then be able to cut out that time to really have a good davening, to cut out that time to do chesed for others when we have so much we have to take care of ourselves. But that's how we continue to grow. What we do. What Hashem does for us, He's always doing for us. What about what we do? To do His ratzon. First to think about what is ratzon Hashem, but then to actually do it. Those are whole different worlds. You know, this is the month of Nisan, when we're learning all this, when we're understanding this yisod of doing ratzon Hashem and mamash doing ratzon Hashem. So this month we have a very special bracha that we make. I thought of this the other day, just for our shir. Never thought of it like this before. Connecting this Torah, see. Right, we make a bracha of Eretz Yisrael starting Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This is a beautiful that each and every one of us make a bracha on Al Peiros Ilan, right? But we make a bracha on a blossoming fruit tree. Hopefully, we'll find blossoming fruit trees. Again, like you said, it's been cold, but we'll look and we'll find blossoming fruit trees to make a beautiful bracha on. To thank Hashem. It's a beautiful bracha to thank Hashem for the peiros that He gives us, for all that He gives us, for the delicious fruits that He gives us. So I think it was our Shulchan. He says, Hashem, Father, He's going to create us. He's going to give us what to eat. But He could have given us all that we eat is like basic vegetation. But He gives us these delicious fruits. We had Shabbos. My wife got his fruit platter. To have delicious mango and pineapples and melons. And it's delicious. A different world, right? And we thank Hashem, Al Peiros Ilan. But what's so interesting? That bracha you make in Nisan, by the way, you can make it late. If you didn't make it in Nisan for some reason, and trees weren't blossoming, you continue to make it in a year. As long as you make it on a, really supposed to be two if you can find two together, but a blossoming fruit tree. Once a tree grows its fruits, you no longer can make a bracha on that tree. It has to be a tree in blossom. A tree in blossom. What does it mean, a tree in blossom? When there are flowers on the tree, blossoming. When the fruits grow, you can't make it on that. Why? You think even more so. Now I see the fruits. Now I see the fruits. I really get a geschmack. Why does it be on the flowering, the blossoming fruit tree, and not on the actual fruits? So I want to suggest tonight the following. It's based on a Torah I saw from the Ark of Elio years ago. After the chait, the whole entire machlokas by Korach. So you have Korach ve'edaso against Moshe and Aaron, right? You know the whole story. Korach and ve'edaso swallowed. And then we want to prove that Aaron is the true leader and not the other Nesiim. So everybody brings their stick. And what happens to the stick of Aaron? It incredibly, miraculously, blossoms. And as almonds grow, right? Shkedim. You know the story. Parshas Korach. So there are different mafarshim that explain, based on the Gemara, that there was a secondary miracle. Not only did it blossom, but usually when a tree blossoms, like we just discussed, first it has flowers, and then the flowers fall off, and the peros grow. Here, when Aaron's stick blossomed, which itself was this incredible miracle, because it wasn't connected to the ground, right? So it had flowers, and then the fruit, the almonds grew, but when the almonds grew, the flowers stayed on, which generally doesn't happen. So the obvious, why did that secondary, insignificant miracle have to happen? Let the flowers fall off, like normally, by a growing tree. So Migdalia Shor says the most beautiful idea. He said the peros, the fruits, represents the end result. The peros are the accomplishment. The flowers is the growth. The flowers is the effort. The flowers is the avoda. In order to bring into the world the accomplishment. So Aaron's this tzaddik, but you want to know the mark of a tzaddik? Tzaddik is somebody, a tzaddikis is somebody who, yes, has accomplishments, yes, has done mitzvahs, yes, has learned Torah, yes, has done things that are peros, but also never stops working, never stops blossoming. So even when those peros are there, the flowers are still there as well. Because a person understands Adam Lamayula, and I have to do more, and I have to continue to work on myself, and I have to continue to mimitak myself, and I have to continue to do more and more avoda, and more Ratzon Hashem, and bring godliness into the world more. That's represented by the flower. And maybe, I just want to suggest, that's why we make a bracha specifically on the flower. You know, when you make a siyum, a person makes a siyum, immediately, they make the siyum, and what do they say? What's the beautiful tefillah that you say when you finish the mesechta? Hadra malach. What's happening? I'm going to return. Right away, you're saying, I'm going to continue to do more. You finished all of Shas. It's a big accomplishment. Massive accomplishment. Julia's father, a few weeks ago, made a Siyum HaShas. Finished all of Shas. It's a tremendous accomplishment. And you're there at the celebration, and you have a big party, and you have food, and what do you immediately say? Immediately, the first thing you say when you finish the Masechta, when you finish Shas, the first thing you say is not let's bask and enjoy. Hadrilach, I'm going to come back to you. Immediately. The minigas immediately start the new Mishnah.
Because the greatest, even with all the great accomplishments, I'm never stopping to work. I'm never stopping to grow. I'm never stopping to do more. Because that's Ratzon Hashem. That's what it is to be a Yid. Because I believe the Ribono Shel Olam is by my side. And He's doing for me constantly. My job is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu woke me up this morning, it means I'm not finished. It means I have more to grow. I have more to do. I have more Ratzon Hashem. And that's the fulfillment of creation in the world. When we put in that effort. Yes, we left the tribe. We're a nation. But now Hashem wants, and Hashem takes us out. And that all came from Him. And we started to believe in Hashem. And that's beautiful, wonderful. Now what do you do with all that belief? HaKamas HaMishkan. That was when we put that effort in. That's what I want from you. That's fulfillment of the purpose of the world. And that's us. To build the Emunah, to see Hashem. But then to do. I want to share with the Chevra. I've shared this before for sure. But I was thinking about it over Shabbos. And a little bit of a new twist in it for the month of Nisan, a story. It's a story that's so close to my heart. There's different reasons I'm constantly thinking about the story, but daily I think about the story because it's about my beautiful daughter Nesya. You see, when Nesya, and I'm sure for some of you this might be a chazara, but the chizik's always different. Nesya is my fourth child, and so already with my third child, with Eliora Malka, so we found out when she was born, about a day in, all her blood cells were being killed. She needed a full blood exchange transfusion. Baruch Hashem, with a lot of nisim, she had complete refus and it's totally fine. And we found out from that point on that every child would be a lot of mesiras nefesh, and basically we work with high-risk specialists, and it basically came out, which none of the doctors could ever explain how this occurred and why it happened, and or only starting with a third child, but mine and my wife's blood is like incompatible in a way that's extremely rare. There's some more famous, you know, things like this, but not, this is very, very rare. In fact, when it happened the first time, there were like posters up in the hospital about our case, like teaching the doctors about it. And so every child, and the nature of it, every child that you'd have, it gets more and more intense. Wasn't even clear for me to be able to have a fifth child. That was a lot of nisim also for another time. If we tell all the stories, we'd be here all night. So with Nesya, and my wife was going to have like blood transfusions throughout the whole pregnancy. Which you have to understand what that means, blood transfusions. That's not like what you think. Like a hook up to an IV, which itself is some blood. It's basically a needle like this, straight into the abdomen, straight into the placenta, and giving the baby blood. Now, because but it's so intricate and so tiny, to make sure there's no anesthesia. Like, you understand, to be able to have a child, so my wife, pretty much like 7 times or 8 times through the pregnancy, had to have this done. And then other IV treatments and different, I don't even get into all of it, just to be able to have, Baruch Hashem, have a healthy baby. And then already after our fifth child, the doctor said we couldn't have any more children because of it, but with Nisim or the Brachos, or Zoyche. So with Nesya, we're already knowing going in that we have all this is going to happen. We're working with like top high-risk specialists. And my wife goes in for a sonogram about 6 weeks into the pregnancy. And the doctor looks at her, looking at the sonogram, and says, I'm so sorry. But there's no heartbeat. And there's a deformation of the head. And basically, you know, if you don't miscarry, you're going to have to abort the baby. There's no... And then, like, he first says that to her, like, just nonchalantly somewhat. I'm not even there with her, whatever I thought. And then says to her, but if you want, you could, like, wait a week, because, like, 1 in 10 million is a little bit off, but because she calls her own doctor, her regular OBGYN, this was a harder specialist, regular, and he's, like, come in 2 days, and we'll do the procedure, take the baby, or whatever it is, and you start over, you have more children. My wife comes home, obviously it's difficult, but okay. We're talking about it that night. We said, the first doctor said, even if 1 in 10 million, to wait a week, why not wait a week? Where are we rushing? It's a few day difference. Let's just wait a week and do it and see. They said, we're going to daven, and we'll go for brachos, and we'll see what happens. You know? What do doctors know? So that week, not only did we daven, and we daven, so it's oil to daven, but I went that Sunday of the week was going to be up on a Tuesday. That Sunday, I went for a bracha to the Shkolena Rebbe. Shkolena Rebbe was a big, big tzaddik, survivor of the Holocaust.
a Kaddish to Giyid, Kaddish Kedoshim. If you have this schus to go daven in Monty, I'm sure some of you have been by the Ribbitzer Rebbe, to daven in Monty by the Vision of the Cemetery, go also a few feet past him are the Skolen Rebbe and his father. We're big tzaddikim, survivors of the Holocaust, there are famous stories about them, incredible people. So I went to the Skolen Rebbe, my wife's uncle was very close to the Skolen Rebbe, went to the Skolen Rebbe, and I told him about what's going on. This was all through a gabbai, because he only speaks Yiddish, and he gave a big bracha, he should be a leib dik a heart, and everything should be good, fun. Right after that, the Skver Rebbe was in Flatbush that week. And I was with another friend of mine, he had it in, and we were able to get to the Skver Rebbe, and I go to the Skver Rebbe, speaks English, and Skver Rebbe is also very big on refus, and I tell him the whole situation, he gives me this whole long bracha. Then I look at the Rebbe, and I say, Rebbe, could you give me an eitzah, maybe something I should take upon myself, maybe a tefillah that I should say, like mizoyche to refuos, yeshuos. He looks at me, and he says, there's nothing you have to do, everything's already okay. So I look at the Rebbe again, I say, oh, maybe the chavod, and I try to say it in the sense of, like, maybe the Rebbe didn't fully understand it, you know, the week's up in 2 days. No, I understood everything. There's nothing you have to do, everything's okay already. And my wife went to the doctor on Tuesday, and it was a perfect heartbeat, and everything was, and the head was normal, and we have a beautiful child, Nesia Tehila. Obviously, Nesia, the miracle of Hashem, because of this miracle and many other miracles. So why am I telling you the story now? We started off, we mentioned Nisan is a month of miracles. And what's the miracles of Nisan that we usually would focus on? We focus on the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, the miracle of the Ten Makos, the miracle of Yisit Mitzrayim. But we said here tonight that maybe the Ikar of Nisan is not even Pesach, but it's Akamas HaMishkan. And that's when the Brias Olam was finished. Because that's what we do. And I like to tell you that I believe that strongly. See, what was the miracle of the story I just told you about my daughter Nesia? Most people heard that story, they'd say the miracle was that this Baruch Hashem, that she was okay. And the Skver Rebbe Shlita with like Mamish Nevuah Ruach Kodesh, a story from the times of the Hashem, was willing to say to me on Sunday and look me in the face and the eyes and say, everything's already okay. 4 days before, a doctor said there's no heartbeat and deformation, you have to abort the baby. And this tzaddik's telling me everything's already okay. And he was right. And I went back to him to thank him, and of course he looks at me, wouldn't even take back Akar Zatov. He says, oh Hashem. So you think that's the miracle. It's miraculous that a man in this world, this is 13 years ago, 2010, is living in our world, Baruch Hashem. You can go visit, he sees women, you can go get a bracha from a man that's able to have Ruach HaKodesh. That's a miracle. He said, no, let me tell you something. To me, that's a miracle, you're right. But if that's a miracle, everything's a miracle. I mean, that's Hashem. And it's just as much a miracle that we wake up in the morning, and the sun rises, and then I breathe, and then I see. There are miracles from Hashem every single moment. And really, it's just a play of words. A miracle from Hashem is a play of words. Is there anything different to God than what's natural and what's supernatural? It's just as much a miracle that we're all here, breathing and living, as it is for the Skver Rebbe to tell me everything's fine already. So what are miracles? Those are miracles, of course, when we see it, we're inspired, and that's tremendous. Those are miracles of Hashem. That's Pesach, the miracles, which are also important, also give us chizah, and also give us source. But the bigger miracles, I believe, are the miracles that we perform. That my wife says, to bring another yid into the world, I'm going to go, and you don't understand what it was, to go, and I know going into it, we already have three healthy, beautiful children. No, I'm going to go, and I'm going to have... And I'm not only with Nesya, I'm with Uriel Nassan Tzvi, and go every week and have treatment done, and have blood transfusions, and have literally, this is why men would never be able to have children. Like, if it was me, forget it, finished, over. I'm not having a needle like this put into my abdomen 7-8 times, like, over, okay, three children, call it a day, right? Nashim Tzukanios, that are willing to go, and that's the miracle. To me, that's the miracle. That's Mesir Snefesh. The miracles is what we create. The miracles are what we do. When we daven, when we're close to Hashem, even when we have, and we all have our challenges, and we have difficulty in our life, and darkness, but I say, I'm with Hashem. I'm with Hashem, and I'm going to still daven. I'm going to still dress with tznius, and it's going to be the summer, and it's going to be boiling hot. And my family is, I come from a more modern family, and they're all going and they're involved in whatever it might be. And I'm still, no. I dress the same way. I'm with Hashem. This is a miracle. These are the miracles we create. And that fulfills purpose of this world. And there's no question, when we create those miracles, Hashem brings us back His miracles. And therefore, that's the month of Nisan. Nisan is Melashon Nes, right? The people think it's miracles of Pesach. It's the miracles of HaKamas HaMishkan. That's Rosh Chodesh. The miracles that we create. However, don't stop creating miracles. Don't stop creating miracles. And the schus that each and every one of you continues to create miracles, all these zeichah, the miracles from Hashem as well, with the Gula Shleimo, with Mashiach Zakeinu, and Herav Yameinu. Which have a beautiful week. It's Chodesh Tov of Simcha, Bracha, of miracles. Mitzvah Hashem, will be continuing to learn together soon.